Welcome. We're glad that you've gotten up bright and early to take part in this Easter sunrise service. It's a blessing, isn't it, to see some of the daffodils blooming, and actually I think we've got a couple tulips that are bursting forth at our place, and we hear the birds chirping. But it's an even greater blessing to know and to celebrate the fact that Jesus rose from the dead. So I invite you to join with me now in a declaration of faith that's going to be showing on the screen. And I'd like you to respond, please, where it says people. The Lord is risen.
The Lord is risen indeed.
Let all the people declare,
the Lord is risen indeed.
Let all the earth declare,
the Lord is risen indeed.
Hallelujah! Let's pray. Lord, we do lift our hallelujahs before you, that universal language all around the world. We join our hearts and minds and voices in praise and adoration unto you, that we might give you the glory that is due your name. Lord, it truly is a blessing. It truly is exciting to wake up this morning and to realize that it is Resurrection Sunday and that we have something to celebrate. We have something to rejoice in. And so we pray, Lord, that you would use our voices and our hearts and our minds that we might truly worship you. And as we do, that we might be inspired, that we might be encouraged and refreshed once again in the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ. And just as things are bursting forth around us, the grass is growing, the flowers are blooming, as we've already noted, the birds are singing, may it be so in our hearts. And may this day be one that we can just delight in your splendor and your majesty and your glory, which has burst forth once again. Father, we pray your blessing and your anointing upon the ministry of the word, as well as the ministry in music, as we share together. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, at this time we're going to sing another familiar hymn, Christ Who Left His Home in Glory. And then following that, Mark Edwards is going to have our meditation for us.
Well, good morning, and beautiful, glorious, happy Easter to you this morning as we celebrate once again the risen Lord. Do you like historical fiction? I remember as a child reading The Robe. Now, that's the imagined story of the Roman soldier, you know, when the soldiers were casting lots for Jesus's robe, his tunic. Well, this was the story of the soldier who won and got that tunic and what became of him. Well, it was a good novel, but some historical fiction, to me, takes on too many liberties and too many assumptions. For example, maybe taking an historical character like Mary, the mother of Jesus, and creating an entire life story with imagined situations and conversations. And that kind of historical fiction doesn't really appeal to me that much. But having said that, I do think that it can be very helpful when we are reading the scriptures to try and gain insight by asking ourselves questions like, what were people thinking? What were they doing at that time? What was the context? What were the circumstances surrounding that, those words of scripture? And so this morning I want to think again about the events of the early morning on the day that Jesus rose from the grave, especially what was on the minds of the women who came to the tomb. So I'm going to read this morning from our scriptures, beginning in Luke chapter 23, verse 50. Now there was a man named Joseph from the Jewish town of Arimathea. He was a member of the council, a good and righteous man who had not consented to their decision and action, and he was looking for the kingdom of God. This man went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Then he took it down and wrapped it in a linen shroud and laid him in a tomb cut in stone where no one had ever been laid. And now here's where we encounter the women who would soon be going to the tomb on Sunday morning. Continuing on with verse 54, it was the day of preparation and the Sabbath was beginning. The women who had come with him, that is with Jesus, from Galilee, followed and saw the tomb and how his body was laid. Then they returned and prepared spices and ointments. On the Sabbath they rested according to the commandment. But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they went to the tomb, taking the spices they had prepared. And they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they went in, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were perplexed about this, behold, two men stood by them in dazzling apparel. And as they were frightened and bowed their faces to the ground, the men said to them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and on the third day rise." And they remembered his words. So let's think about what was happening. Jesus was dead. And it was about 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Joseph then makes his way back into the city to speak with Pilate and to ask him for the body. He probably had to wait a while for an audience with Pilate. And we know from other parts of Scripture that Pilate was surprised that Jesus was dead already. And so he sent someone, probably a soldier, to verify that Jesus was dead. So this soldier had to return to the place of the cross, check Jesus, check with the soldiers there, and then return and give Pilate his report. After that, Pilate gives his permission, and Joseph then has to go again to the hill to claim the body. They take it down from the cross, and they take it and carry it and lay it in a new tomb. Now here is what should happen. According to Jewish custom at the time, his body should be prepared, probably washed, and then wrapped in layers and layers and layers of spices and cloth. Now we see in verse 56 that the women had started preparing these spices. Normally, a body prepared like that would lay in the tomb for a year, and after that, the remaining bones would be moved to an ossuary or a special stone box to receive the bones. So, what is the problem? Why can't the women finish up? Why do they have to go back to the tomb on Sunday morning? Well, remember, it's mid to late afternoon when everything begins to happen, when Jesus dies. And with going back and forth, talking to Pilate, sending messengers, finally carrying the body to the tomb and so on, it's quite late in the day. And verse 54 tells us the problem. The Sabbath was beginning. Now, you remember that Jewish days begin in the evening before that day. So Friday at sundown marked the beginning of the Sabbath, when they were no longer allowed to work. So the women had made a beginning preparing the spices. Maybe they had sent somebody to the market for some of the things they might have needed. Now, of course, Mary, Jesus' mother, already had one very expensive spice. You remember the myrrh given by the wise men at the time of Jesus' birth. This was a spice that apparently wasn't available to everyone because of its cost, but it was commonly used to help wrap that body in spices. Now, maybe giving a burial spice was sort of an odd gift to give to a mother of a newborn, but it certainly was prophetic and pointed to the inescapable and supremely important death that awaited Jesus at the end of his life on earth. And I'm sure that Mary, during all those years of Jesus' life, had kept and treasured that gift, and now it was ready. Now, why have I spent such a long time talking about these spices and the timing of this arrival of the Sabbath and so on? Well, I want us to see that when the women got up and went to the tomb on that early Sunday morning, they were thinking about and fully expecting death. In fact, they had been thinking about it all through the Sabbath, knowing this painful, unfinished business that awaited them. They were not expecting or even hoping to see Jesus alive. As they went up towards the tomb, they were not singing, "Up from the grave he arose," as they walked. And even when they reached the tomb and saw it empty, their first thought was not, "Jesus is alive," but instead, "Where is the body? Where have you taken him?" And it was not until the angels told them to seek for him among the living that they began to remember that Jesus had in fact told them that he would rise from the dead. Of course, a little while later, Jesus appeared himself to Mary, and she saw firsthand that he was indeed alive. So you see, the women started their day expecting and thinking about death, but they found life and joy in the risen Jesus. So I want to ask us this morning, what did you expect when you got up this morning? Well, most of you, I'm sure, because it's Easter and because you already have a relationship with Christ, you have celebrated the resurrection many times before. Hopefully you awoke with joy at the thought of Jesus alive and conquering the grave. After all, that is why we celebrate Easter. But perhaps not all of you listening have yet committed your life to Jesus. So the joy of the resurrection is new to you. I hope that you do receive Jesus as Savior and can really share in that joy. But even for believers, what about tomorrow or the next day or later in the week? Will you wake up and reach for the morning paper, as I often do, to find out how many more people have died of the coronavirus or been killed in an accident? Read about the recent crimes that have taken place. Maybe turn first to the obituaries to see who of your friends or relatives might have passed on. How many more businesses have closed? Maybe the worries of your work and just your life and family just occupy your thoughts as you start the day. Now, catching up on the news is not necessarily bad, nor is reading the obituaries. Those aren't bad things. But what is it that shapes our attitudes and influences our minds for the day? Is it gloom and death? that occupies our attention and steals our joy? Is our day shaped by the difficulties and sorrows that surround our work and our lives? Or do we rejoice in the risen Jesus, the living King of Kings and Lord of Lords? Do we begin the day by recognizing the goodness and sovereignty of God? I admit to you that all too often I allow melancholy to rather distract me and rob me of my joy. But I'm trying these days to change that, so please join me. Let us begin our days rejoicing that God is sovereign over all, even over death and bad news. And let us find our joy and our daily encouragement from the living Lord Jesus. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for the life of Jesus, the eternal life forever before and forever after, and also his life on earth, his death and resurrection. We celebrate this morning, and help us to celebrate every morning and to enter our days and our tasks and our work each day in your presence, knowing your goodness, knowing your sovereignty, knowing your great blessing. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
And now may you know what is the exceeding greatness of God's power toward those who believe, according to the working of his mighty power which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead. Amen. Folks, enjoy your breakfast, and don't forget to join us in a little bit for our morning worship service.